Where are we at, people? And we get that. Live. 21 questions. I'm your host, Icy. How are you doing? Yo. Big up all my replay crew. If you're watching this on the replay, I'm saying hi to you as well. Thanking you for replaying this and tuning in. I am your host, Icy. And we're going to be having an amazing one tonight. Kenny Annan Jonathan, creator of Play.Apparel, Long Live Studios, The Mail Room. Hey, this one's going to be fun. Let me just pin this. And we're live. Let me know how you're doing in the comments section. Let me know if this is your first time joining us at 21 Questions. If you're a newbie, let's get a hashtag newbie. Let's pin that comment. We're live. Hey. Becky, what's up? Wilfred Zaha, CPFC, what's up? In the building. Playdots in the building. So, bro, if you just press that request. Yeah, I got it. Cool. Love, man. Hey, Becky, how you doing? Rich Portois Dujers. I don't speak French, so please forgive me. Scale of London Events. Big up to you, RCF. Big up to you, Meg. Meg, once upon a time. Ola Yinks in the building. Who else we got? I am Zoe Collins. Dea. Hey. If this is your first time, like I said, if this is your first time to 21 Questions, welcome. Let me know if you're a newbie in the comments. Just type newbie. If you're watching this on replay, welcome. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. How am I? I'm good, you know. I'm good. It's a bit of a gloomy day, but we just made the most of it. Just getting ready for this live and doing a few other bits of stuff. So thank you for asking. People are actually asking me, so appreciate that, appreciate that. Oprah, hey, how you doing in the building? Hola Samuni, welcome. Hey, just want to say hello to everyone before we get started. Big up to our sponsors, Proper Corn, best popcorn in the world. I say it with chest. Hey. so we're going to have fun tonight, man. Newbie, LN Marcati. Sorry, NNC Marty. Thank you for joining us, man. First time. Grace Takara. Newbie. Back. Hopefully from this point on, you won't be a newbie anymore. You'll be with us week in, week out. All right? Guys, make sure if you've never, ever tuned into this platform, we've got like 11 or 10 other episodes that we've done. So link in bio after you finish if you want to check them all out on our YouTube channel, man. Feel free, man. Feel free. Welcome to the 21 Questions family. Yeah. Man like Marty. So like I said, I'm Icy. I'm going to put my at name in the chat if you want to check me out later. But this is all part of the sit down platform. And what we do at the sit down, before Corona, we would have our live events where we'd invite guests on and ask them as many questions as possible and really get you to interact with them. But Corona came, done her thing or done his thing. And so we thought, let's migrate this. Let's adapt this to our online platform in our Insta Lives. And so that's what we've been doing. We've just been getting guests on, asking them as many questions as possible within a lot of time. They get one pass card that enables them to skip a question. So if they don't want to ask that question, fair enough, they can use their pass card. But if they make it all the way through without using their pass card, then they win a prize. And I've got a prize right here for Kenny if he doesn't use his pass card. Yeah. This is my real welcome. Michael, welcome. Mbonsu, welcome. Just a J, just a guy, welcome. Cressy Beats in the building. Thank you, my brother. Love you always. Playmakers, hey. All right, so without further ado, we're not even going to waste any time. It's hot in here. We're going to invite Kenny on. And just explore his creative transitional journey, man. It's going to be a good one. I've known Kenny for years. It's up to like 10 years now. And just seeing him grow and transition has been great from the sidelines. But now I want to shine more light on that, and we're going to delve behind the scene and see what that journey has been like. So if you're ready to go with me, I want you to put a sofa in the comment section. So scroll through your emojis, find sofa, and put that in the comment section. Dun, dun, dun. All right, let's get ready. Welcome if you're just joining us. We're going to get it cracker-lacking, get it popping. Just a guy, welcome. All right, so without further ado, let's get into it, man. I'm going to introduce Kenny, and he's going to come onto the live. Big up you guys with the sofas. Let's go. Hey, it's the beat still.
Yes, you guys are ready. I like it. Good. Kenny, hey. My brother.
Hey, is it a bit too dark in here? Should I turn the light on?
Just a touch. Yeah. Nice. Your skin's looking golden, so we want to see the golden.
So. All right, hold on. Might look a bit yellow, actually.
That's right.
There we go. Can you see me?
Yes.
Yes.
How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man.
Thank you for joining us, bro. Thank you for joining us. Lovely. I haven't seen that hat for a while, so it's good to see you.
Yeah, trust me, bro.
How's your day been?
Yeah, it's been good, you know. It was actually, was in Reading today from early morning because, we're going to get into the story, but I was in Reading basically just doing some work with one of the athletes that we look after.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry, my thing's going on funny. Cool. Hold on. Let me call this. Who was you working with today?
Do you know what it is? It was a sign-in for a new player to a new club. But obviously, we're not announcing the player until next week, so I can't actually tell you who it was.
No worries.
Cool. But good time. I was just out from early, so I was a bit tired, man. I said I needed to have a little sleep before. Do you know what I'm saying? I knew I was going to come on this live, man.
You actually got to sleep?
Yeah, do you know it is? Two kids in the house, a wife. It's hard, but my wife's a blessing, man. She allowed me, so.
Big up your wife. Hey, what's your wife's name again?
Charisse.
Charisse, we got Charisse. I know she's in the building as well.
She's in the other room probably.
All right, there we go. Well, welcome to 21 Questions.
Yes, my bro.
You've got as many as 21 questions within the allotted time. You've got one pass card. So if there's a question you don't want to answer, use your pass card. But
yes,
if you make it all the way through and you don't use your pass card, you can win a prize that we've got right here, right now. All right? So...
All right. I'm laughing at these comments because everyone's like, Kenny sleeps. I do sleep, man.
Because you're all sleep. Work. And we'll get into that.
I sleep, man.
Cool, yeah. So I'm going to start off light work. Let's see. Let's start off. I want to start off from your childhood and kind of thing. What was your kind of childhood youth ambitions? What did you want to be? Hold on. Let me just reload for a second. Big up Kenny, because we've known each other for so long, and I sent him a picture. Actually, I was going through my Facebook and I saw a picture that we did, and back in the day, like with Play.Apparel, Apparel, I remember I used to do photography.
Yeah.
And I was looking to collaborate with different brands, to do photography for different brands, and I always wanted to do something with Play.Apparel. I remember I hit Kenny up and he said that, okay, cool, we're going to be doing a shoot at this time. That come on down, and that was actually my only second shoot. I never actually, trust me, that was my That's second crazy. Shoot. So there was some type of pressure. I was like, oh man, like Play-Doh, like it's like I can't mess this up. But it was, we did it in Hyde Park.
It was such a fun
and like amazing shoot. And I swear, hold on, I think I've got a picture here.
Yeah. Bro, it's you're killing. Bro, listen, you guys gotta allow me, man. This is over 10 years ago. But do you know what it was? It was for Terratag. I was trying to do a bit of brand consultancy. This is it. Back then I didn't even know it was brand consultancy.
Yeah.
But I was kind of like helping them out with like getting their brand out there and just seeing what they wanted to do. So
yeah.
You know how it goes. You know creatives, you try to collide the worlds, do you know what I mean? They kind of believed in my vision for what we do with Play-Doh and just kind of asked me to kind of replicate in the same way.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, tell me, as a youth, like, what was your kind of like ambitions?
Oh man, I'll be honest with you. it was tough, man. I think I struggled really to kind of find out what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Growing up, you know, I'm from Crapham Junction. And, you know, like, everyone's kind of like, it's like a very tight circle of friends. But in amongst our kind of like social groups, my kind of personal group was only set to like two other people. Well, there was probably about five of us in total, but day to day was probably about two extra guys. My guy, my friend Carl and my friend Jason.
Okay.
And we were kind of like kept to ourselves in a sense. But I'll be honest, we was just living life being young. I didn't have a clue what I wanted to do, if I'm honest. Like, just one of those. And I always found it bad. Do you know what I mean? I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do when I finish school. I don't know what my ambitions were. I just had no clue. Do you know what I mean?
Was there any pressure to have a clue, to know what you really wanted to do? As in from home or from, like, school?
I tell you what, I think for me, growing up in a single parent household, I saw my mum work three jobs. I was at home on my, like, most of the time, most of my friends probably wouldn't know, I'd be in the house and my mum's gone for 3-4 days. Wow. You know what I mean? Because she was a carer at the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So she's left money on the table, and do you get what I'm saying?
It's, you just gotta make it work.
Yeah, do you get what I'm saying? So for me, it was just kind of like, I just wanted to make money. I didn't know how, I didn't know what I was going to do. It was just that. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yeah, the ambitions was, yeah, I was lost, man.
How did you kind of whittle it down? As in, okay, right, these are the things that I want to pursue. Because there's, I mean, a lot of people find this a difficulty where they can do so many things, but they don't know, they can do so many things, they don't know what to do. How did you whittle it down to, right, this is what I want to pursue?
I'll be honest with you, right? I got to, like, sixth form towards the end of my school years, right? And I remember just doing my exams. And even then, I still didn't have... I still didn't know what I was going to do at that point. Yeah. And my sister, my older sister, actually bought me a book. Everyone, you'll know the book anyway. She bought me a book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, when I was 17.
Yeah.
And I remember reading it. And, you know, it's going to sound so cliche, but it definitely changed my perception on, you know, the system and what they tell you that you should be doing. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of like opened my mind to, you know, just a broader spectrum of things that I could do in this world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like understanding about making money work for you and not just going out to seek a good job, but creating opportunities. And do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not working for money, but making money work for you.
For you, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that was kind of like the start of my creative journey. Because I felt like, I'll be honest, I felt like a failure when it came towards the end of school. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just like, you know, the class joker, messing around with my friends. Yeah. And then you're trying to rush all your exams towards the end. And I just thought, you know what I mean? I just thought, yeah, this is going to be a mess. Do you know what I mean?
What did you get for your exams, like results?
Bro, I'd rather not even say, bro.
is that you using your pass card?
Is that me using my pass card?
Do you want to activate that pass card now?
Nah, I don't want to activate that yet. What did I do? I'll be honest with you. It was like predominantly C's. Do you know what I'm
saying? I got a U in art, bro.
Yeah, but bro, do you know what it is?
That's ungraded.
Yeah, but do you know what it is, though? It's the expectation. I'll be honest, even at that point with what I had, and listen, some of my friends were going to uni, and at that point, because it seemed like the thing to do, if I went uni, I would have just been following my friends.
Yeah.
So with the grades that I had got, wasn't enough to get into the universities that my friends were going to go to. So that's why I say that. Do you know what I mean?
I allow you. So then, fast forward... Say about 2007 you started Play-Doh.
Yeah, so I was about 17 at the time. Yeah.
Yeah, and with
Questy.
Yeah. How did you two even meet to even start that? Because starting something that was going to be of that magnitude.
Yes.
Everyone can say, oh, let's come together and do something. But what drew you two both together, and then kept you together to actually pursue that and make it a reality?
Well, what it was is that Questy's like a really close family friend of mine. Like, literally, I'm talking like we grew up together. Our parents have been friends before we was around. Mm. And basically, what happened is Questy had a brand already called Axon Limited.
Called what, and
sir? Axon Limited.
Okay.
And he had done it with, I think, three other guys. And for some reason, it just didn't work out. There was a lot of like conflict within their group, and it kind of, you know, just completely just messed up. Now, Young, I've always been into kind of like media, creatives, you know me, with photography, videography, editing, anywhere like I can kind of get my hands in. Like I'm recording videos for people, and design at that point, I was just really just into, I was just doing a lot of design at the time. And being young with a lot of energy, just being all over the place. I remember one time when he had stopped acting, Questy was just like to me, oh, I'm doing clothing line, you should start. I'm 17, I don't have a clue. He's like, you should do it with me, this, that, and the third. I'm like, yeah, man, let's do it, man. I'm on it. Da, 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 da. But it was just a lot of energy. Do you know what I mean? It was just like, I saw what he had already created, which he wasn't doing anymore. Mm-hmm. And for me, there was nothing like being done in that space at the time. The designs were very different. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, we came together, but I didn't feel comfortable with the designs of Axon, if I'm honest with you, because I felt like I was carrying someone else's weight.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just basically what happened. He approached me, we spoke about it. And then from there, we just, you know, we started running with it. We did carry on Axon for like, I think it was 2 years after that.
Ooh.
So even though so when did Playdot kind of become a reality?
So Playdot became a reality, probably really kicked in 2009. Where the design, like the designs that everyone would know it for now kind of
so when
in,
with right? Skits?
Yeah, with the Skits character, right? And you know, I was just going and I wanted a rebrand. I just felt like such a disconnect from the brand. Do you know what I mean? The name Playdot was just about having fun, full stop. It was just about no boundaries and no limitations and being able to kind of express yourself in the best way. And I think at the time, you know, I guess you see it in kind of like the designs and the things that I'm into. A lot of the apparel that I would have liked to buy, I was way out of my price bracket. Do you know what I mean? The Billionaires Boys Clubs, the Bathing Apes. Do you know what I mean? At the time, even like Academics was like a big thing at the time. Echo, like you name it, whatever it was at the time, like that is what I just couldn't afford it. Do you know what I mean? So my whole thing was captivating a certain essence and feel, but making it for our social group. Mm. That's just where it started. It was just about, it was only meant for our friends. I didn't think global. It was just really local at the time.
Nice. And then in terms of I remember that 2009 period, what was the streetwear kind of space like at the time? Like who was in there at the time when you lot were kicking off?
It's crazy, bro. It was so empty, man. Wow. I think, but at the time when we had started, I think the only people that was really like where kind of where we were sitting in that space, it would have been us, Benjar, and Trapstar.
Crazy. Now look at it. Yeah.
So we was the ones, we was kind of doing all of our pop-ups together. We done Reset. We done, you know, the night resets of where we would do everything at the Night Factory. We was doing stuff at, you know, down in Shoreditch. And it was always us three and a few others. Do you know, King Apparel was there, obviously. Pixel, PXL, they was there at the time. And it was just all Dark and Cold.
Dark and Cold,
around, Do you know what I mean? And we was just all doing the same pop-ups. Do you know what I mean? It was just such a great energy at the time. Because again, as I said, there was nothing like it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And what, when would you say it really took off for you guys? Because you're doing the designs. And I remember there were so many transitions from the t-shirts to the jumpers. But then the Skits character became like the main front facing kind of logo. Whether it's on the tees, the tops, the jackets. Yeah. When did you see like it was gone clear? What was there a certain moment or a certain person that wore it? When did it start to really take off?
I think if I'm honest with you, there's certain moments in time, but you know, I don't really put it down to artist endorsement. I really put it down to the support of our community.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's easy to, you know, to say, oh, it grew because it was on XYZ, but before it was seen there, really and truly, you know, it was like it was all over the place.
Yeah,
it's a really funny story. One time we was coming from a fashion show, myself and Questy, and I think so I see James in here as well, Major. So
big shout up, out James.
Yes, you remember James anyway. So I think James might have been with us. I might have been, but we was driving from a fashion show, and the police stopped us, and they went in the boot of the car. They just, you know, mandatory check. Went in the boot of the car, and they saw all of the clothes, and they was like, "Oh, are you lot gang affiliated?" Because these clothes have been seen in certain areas, which was Toad Hill, Clapham Junction,
yeah.
Peckham, do you know what I mean? And because obviously it's quite heavy colours, they just thought it was like a gang representation thing. I never really told that story, but and that's kind of what would happen all the time. They'd see us and just associate it with different areas.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
But that's because of how much it was spreading.
Yeah, just because of how it was spreading. Awesome. Do you know what I mean?
Come on. 2015, you and Wilfred with Long Live?
Yeah.
So you transitioned to set up Long Live Studios.
Yes.
It's so funny because you are such an elusive character.
Like, I can't believe you got me on here, man.
You won't know you're behind certain things until you show you are. So just before I even go to that, go into Long Live, was that on purpose from the start? Was that something that you wanted to shy away from and say, you know, I want the product to speak? Or are you just a shy person? What was it that made you kind of take that elusive kind of approach to you in being a face of the brand?
I think I didn't ever want to be the face of the brand, but you have to remember I started when I was young, so it's just a lot of energy. Mm. You're doing something that isn't negative. I wasn't like on the road, like doing anything at that point. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like you wanted to get something out that you had created and people was liking it and you're seeing money from it.
Mm.
No business structure, no nothing. It was just, I love this. Now where kind of Long Live came into it. So when Wilfred was at Manchester United, he was actively buying product from us. He just contacted me on Twitter one day. And, you know...
Wait, so he was buying Play-Doh?
Yeah. So before I met him, he was buying it.
Right, okay.
And then he posted something or someone had sent me something. So I think actually I had messaged him. Then he was like, oh, that's crazy. Da, 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 da. At this time, I would be in Croydon a lot more because my wife's from Croydon. Do you know what I mean? So I'd be in the area and then he'd
come
down.
So when you were going to Croydon, were you taking plane? Were you flying?
It's not that far, man. You lot got jokes, bro. It's not that far. Trust
me. Yeah, 15
minutes to Clapham Junction.
No,
on
brother.
On train, I'm telling you.
It's a passport thing.
Nah, bro. But yeah, like, so he'd come down from Manchester and just come and meet me at the family house the first time I met him. But we just really kicked it off, like our first conversation. Obviously he's a few years younger than me, but we just really developed a relationship. And every time he'd come back, he'd contact me, he would link up here, this, that, and the third. But at this time, I was still working full-time anyway. I was a graphic, by that time, I've missed out a whole bit, but I was a graphic designer by trade. Okay. You know what I mean? At this point, I was in a stable job. Mm-hmm. But I was getting like itchy feet, feeling like, oh, do I really want to be here? I really want to work on the creative side. It's kind of taken away from it.
Yeah,
and I never forget one time Will hit me and he's just like, he's always been into these fashion. He's like, I want to start a brand, but I don't know how to start it. So I was like, all right, cool, I'll help you do it. So I was sketching up the first designs for Long Live, da 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 da, da from consultancy, gave it to him. Didn't know what to do next with it.
Yeah.
So I was helping him. And then, you know, he kind of, it was a mutual kind of conversation. He's just like, look, I really want you to be involved. I respect you. We know each other. I like your design, you know, aspects and where your vision is. And, you know, we kind of just sat down, broke things down, and I went to Questy because everyone knows Play-Doh's my baby and I couldn't see myself splitting the time.
That's mad.
So at first, I kind of was a bit negative on it. Like, I don't really want to do it. It's not just about the names. I just didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, you know what? Sometimes you've got to be a... When opportunity knocks at your door, you have to step back, assess it, and then just move with caution, but welcome it also.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? I prayed about it and I just said, you know what, let me go with this. Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
And I'll be honest, it felt right. And I think that was the biggest transition into where I am now, like in terms of life structure, even just the growth and development of Play-Doh at the time, all kind of stemmed around my relationship with Wilfred, Long Live, the doors and opportunities that opened for me and the rooms that I could then sit in.
How did that name even come apart? Was that both of you coming together? Or was that part of your consultancy?
Well, the name Long Live Wilfred already had. His Instagram name was Long Live Zaha. Okay, and I think if you remember at the time, like ASAP had at Long Live Last ASAP or something. It was the name of their album. So it was more like a concept that people would use towards their name.
Mm-hmm.
So he liked the name. And then I kind of like branded it around him and who he is. Do you know what I mean? Being like kind of understanding his journey and the whole Long Live concept of, you know, creating something that outlives your own existence. And I don't know if you know, the first logo that I designed for it was the figure eight, which is the Affinity logo, which is continuous. Do you know what I mean? And that's kind of was like our staple thing.
Bro, I remember I think I saw the hat. I was scrolling back in the day, and I saw the hat and I was like, I just loved it. I loved the design.
Yeah.
And then I kept on seeing so many people posting this hat. This hat.
Yeah.
Thinking, yo, who is this hat? And then I think I can't remember if I messaged you. But
you,
I didn't
you
know.
You messaged Long Live.
Long Live. But I didn't know it was you. And I was like, you know what, I think in that moment I was like, you know what, this guy's a genius. Like, how can someone start one fashion line and start another fashion line and run them simultaneously? But at the same time, it wasn't like you shouted it from the rooftops. You were just like, these are my babies, but I'm still going to feed them and make sure they thrive. However, I know it cannot be easy to manage those two. So tell me, what were some of the struggles of managing two different clothing labels?
Okay, so, you know, I think after a few months after starting Long Live, Playdot was really taking off. Well, like, it got to a new stage, shall I say, because we had had some highs by then, before Long Live.
Mm.
But it started growing, and then I started doing this with Wilfred, and my time really started to just roll down.
Yeesh.
At the time, I'm with my wife. So really and truly, it was more about being a husband and owning two businesses. When you're young and single, you can be everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But being a husband, you've got to kind of like, you know, I'm here, I've got shoots at 10 o'clock at night, I'm going to events, I'm doing this, that, and the third. And really and truly, the brands, really, like, I'm passionate about it. Anyone who knows me, I will work on projects as long as I have to. But at the same time as doing that, I'm forsaking my relationship with my wife.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's for greater gain, but it's just not fair. Do you know what I mean? So that was probably my biggest struggle. It was trying to get comfortable, being uncomfortable and trying to be comfortable in a position I'd never been in before.
Mm-hmm.
While business is going well too. And you're always like, I'm one step closer. But, you know, at home, it's, I'm not here. I'm out there. Mm. She's at home. It's this, that. Late night, I'm having to go meet her then at her aunt's or her mum's house because I'm over here, I'm over there. I'm always moving.
Wow,
do you know what I mean? So I think that's what it was. The design aspect for me, it was fine because I'm producing in the same place. My design, I kind of set like a calendar of how I design certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But it was mixing my home life as, you know, a young man just getting married.
Yeah.
And then being an entrepreneur, chasing your dreams.
And that is one of the biggest balancing acts. I think everybody is struggling to manage. Like, how do I persevere and pursue my dream and my passion to the point where it's just, you know, it's gone, but then take care of home and be present at home. And that is such a balancing act. Is there any, I guess from that experience, are there any tips that you can give, or is there anything that you learned from yourself? Oh, this worked when you put it in place.
I think, I tell you what is, right? It's a bit hard. Like, I'm a Christian, you know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, I trust in God, right? But I think some things that I didn't do in the early days that I learned later on down the line is being able to gauge the temperature. Meaning, yes, what I'm doing is for my family, and I know you know me, I'm very confident. I know whatever I put my hands to will be successful. And that's not being cocky. I'm just confident in the ability because I know what I'm putting behind it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like my wife is my life partner. And there's certain things in the early days that, you know, that did help me to grow, but I would have sacrificed just not doing them to have more time with my wife at that time. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So it's that whole thing about priority. What are you going to put?
Just prioritizing things.
Yeah,
just prioritizing things, man.
Tell me about, you know, we had this conversation the other day.
Yeah.
About, you know, and I put it in the caption, surviving one of your big setback. And you spoke about anxiety.
Yes.
Tell me what, this story is so crazy.
all right, well, let me kick it off. There's things in between, but basically what had happened is, again, now at this point, the brands are really going really well. Mm. We're probably getting to our peak of Long Live. Playdot was really still maintaining itself. So with Long Live, we managed to get our product in the Crystal Palace merchandise store online. We had the LED screens at Crystal Palace during the game days, like everything's flying. But I really wanted to work on the product. So what I've done is I took a year out of not going to, you know, like actually selling product, just to work on the back end of everything. Websites, brand strategy, this, that. So I flew to China. I was in the Philippines. I was working on relationships, building product, testing materials. And, you know, we pumped, between the both brands, we pumped a lot, bro, a lot of money into it.
How much?
In the span. All right, for the purpose of this, probably about 80 to 90 grand of like production money. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm saying this is what we're going to put behind it and really push it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then basically, yeah, we have done all of that. And my office is actually in central London in Soho.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a private place. Not many people know that I'm there. I didn't bring a lot of people there. So, you know, so I'd be working out of there, especially at this time as well. I'm working with athletes. I'm doing consultancy at this time as well for Crystal Palace on lifestyle culture. So jeez. I had a stock room like in my office. And then I'll never forget this day. It was a Wednesday. I was at church. And anyway, a few hours go past. I get a call 6 a.m. from the office. Some of the guys at the office, really random. Oh, Kenny, where are you? I'm like, I'm at home. It's, you know, 6 a.m. I think you need to come to the office. I'm like, why? They said, please just come down. So I told my missus, like, I jumped up quick and I just left. Whatever it is, they didn't really want to tell me. So I get to the office. They said, there's been a break-in at the office. And I'm like, all right, cool. Do you know what I mean? My office is on the ground floor. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And Crystal Palace is above me. Then we've got like many other, you know, people within the building, but mine's directly downstairs. And what happened is,
and so yours is closest to the door,
closest to the main entrance. So what had happened is, like, some random guys had kind of kicked open the door and basically ransacked the place. And at the time, all my stock, remember, all this product that I've been stocking for, like, and getting ready to launch over the last 12 to 18 months was in this place. And they'd just taken everything. So someone come, they kicked open the door, managed to get into mine, taken stuff. They've left, but the door's still open. It's late at night, no one's there. Do you know what I mean? Some reason the alarms didn't go off or whatever. Wow. Then what happened is the doors were open for so long, some people had left. They came back with more people. And then someone's guarding the door. And I'm seeing people go in and out. The first person that came, went to go get other people, they came back in my clothes. My Jordan 1s. My jacket, my hat, they had my whole clothes on. Do you know what I mean? Shades is in here. Shades can vouch for it. So yeah, everyone like kind of came, like, and there were just loads of people, bro, like homeless people's coming in, looking in what's going in. Like I've got it on, the reason I say it, because I saw it on the CCTV cameras.
Yeah.
But literally they just took everything. And police didn't do nothing, was having insurance issues at the time. These were big learning curves. So you know, for someone that put everything that I had, like, financially into this, I was down. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't mentally in the right place. Do you know what I mean? Like, and, you know, it's not about what you know in one else's pockets. But for me, like, as the creative from both of the brands, I really put everything into
it. Yeah, 100%.
Time, sweat equity, time. Again, forsaking time with my wife, which I say is really important. Yeah. All of this. And everything just goes to my mind just saying, like, I just felt like I had lost everything at that point.
Geez.
And that, again, that was at the point where we was really like hitting our peak.
Yeah.
This was like our second collection. We're going to break through, like we're breaking through now. We was talking with Harvey Nichols about the launch, back in touch with Selfridges about launching product. We had capsule collections and collaborations lined up. Everything went. Everything went. Trust me,
and
still,
you know,
it still bugs me. It, like, I still feel it to this day.
It will. You know, and I remember, when we were talking on WhatsApp, I was just like, I watched the video, and I was just like,
yeah,
damn. But just like someone said, innit, like, it was a, you know, it set you back, but you're still standing, and that I really want to know how. Mentally, how did you come back from that? Because for some people, that's it. It's done. Like you said, you felt you lost money and time in one swoop. And for some people, that's it for them. They're tapping out and that's it. Tell me how your faith, your wife, the people around you, how did all of that help you come out of that place? Because you could have just stayed in that place.
Yeah, I think everyone that knew that was around me and knows me, knows that I was really down. Like, I was
Wow.
down, and I was trying to basically keep a straight back basically, because I'm probably just one of those people within our circle. I'm always like, how you doing? What's going on? Do you need help
Yeah.
with something? This, that, and the third. Do you know what I mean? But I've, and at that point, it's just like, you just don't know what to do with yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like, designing clothes, manufacturing, sampling, it takes time, it takes money. Do you get what I'm saying? And what I just started to do is I was like, no, I've got to get back to it, this, that, and the third. And I was trying to cover it up with certain things. So I'm like, there was a point where I was just reposting a lot of the stuff that I already had. And then I sat back, like, I was doing it for both of the brands, and I'm realizing stocks. And every time I'm going back to the stock room, I'm realizing more stuff that I thought was there had actually been taken.
Wow.
And it was just kind of like, I started to just really stop feel depressed about it. Because again, that's what I was planning on, whatever I would made at that time, I would have, that would was would have been used to feed my family. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I don't have a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
We're self-funded. So yeah, it was kind of like, I got to a point, and I was speaking to a lot of my friends, a lot of the guys that are in here. Shades would visit me at my office, like, every day, spend time with me, help me design this, that, and the third. A lot of the other people in there, Peggy's in there, she's helped me countless amount of times. Rico's in there, Martin, like, my young family members that would come in and just be like, you know, at certain points, just saying, if you need anything, you need help, this, that, and the third. And I just said to myself, right, I felt my mind was mentally clouded. I couldn't just operate. So I just took time to just sit back and just relax. And I didn't know what I was going to do. If I'm honest with you, I just thought, I just need to go and get a 9-to-5. You know what I mean? And for me, if you know me, that's like, there's nothing wrong with it. But going, you know, leaving that setup to structure your life for a few years this way, especially, you know, as a husband. And this time as well, I've had my first child. Remember that too.
Wow.
You get what I'm saying? So at that point, I'm just like, I need, my first point of call now is to look after my family. Do you see what I'm saying? And I want to do this, but I mentally just couldn't get over it.
Yeah,
I just mentally couldn't get over it. So yeah, there was a string of events. Then that happened, and then there was me and my wife were celebrating like one of our 6-year wedding anniversaries, bro. Like, randomly, someone random fog. Like, we've just come from our hotel, and we've gone straight to church. And everyone knows I'm so paranoid. I leave nothing in my car.
Yeah.
But we had everything. She had her bags in there. I had my laptop. And my laptop goes with me everywhere. Randomly, someone's opened, like, searching the areas and opening boots and done, like, a whole strip of cars. And basically, they've taken my laptop, my hard drive, everything. And I just felt like I was constantly being attacked. Debts were hitting me. Laptop stolen. Hard drive stolen. Clothes are gone. No money, like, it was rock bottom. I was literally finished. That's how I felt. Do you know what I mean? But that was kind of like my dark moment, and it was probably a lot deeper than that, because you can imagine, like, that kind of strain. Your home, you start arguing at home because you're feeling pressured, but you've got to make sure that you make ends meet. It was just a lot that was going on for me. Do you know what I mean? Which kind of, if I'm honest, in those dark times, through a lot of the close friends were around me, which actually sparked the new venture, which I'm in now. But which kind of sparked the new venture that I'm in now. And, you know, I look back now, and as much as I really hate that moment, in that moment of darkness, something sparked from it. And I didn't even realize it was happening, basically.
Wow. Tell me how that transition happened. Actually, you know, I just need to read you something, actually.
Yeah, go for it.
Your wife sent this message just when you were talking about.
Okay.
She said, as your wife, I always understand your dreams and will always support you, because when you win, we win. And we're grateful. Let me read it here. And we're grateful to have you.
You're going to make me cry on here, bro, man.
That's your wife. This is the wife that you married.
Yeah,
she said, as your wife, I always have you back. When you win, we win. That's beautiful.
And that's when you know you've got a winner, man. I'm telling you, man. And that's more than anything you could have got. Do you know what I mean?
That's all.
That's what
makes
it work.
Can we have some wedding rings in the comment section, please?
Tell me
about, before you go into this new venture,
how
important was it for you to marry the right person? Because in a time like that, you need, especially in terms of a marriage and a husband and wife relationship, there is unspoken pressures. And they don't want to put, you know, women don't want to put the pressure on you.
But when we're not too sure where the rent is coming, when they're not too sure where the rent is coming from, or you know, where the next meal is coming from, and this has happened to you, and they want you to make something happen, how important was it for you to, in marrying someone who was able to understand that, you know what, I know you will win in the end. It may not be great right now, but I have faith in you. How important was that for your strength and you getting up again?
Extremely important. Like, if I, you know, just to kind of sum it down, I think, okay, so before I got saved, I became a Christian. My idea of relationships is totally warped. Didn't want to get married. Didn't really believe in relationships. I came to God. I understood God's institution of marriage and what it meant. Do you know what I mean? So it kind of changed my heart and, you know, geared me towards, you know, not searching, but just being a bit more open. But I wasn't looking. I wasn't searching. Because coming where I come from, you have a perception in your mind of what relationships are like, and they're not necessarily, they're not really good ones. So when I met my wife, she kind of, you know, at the time she went saved and she got saved, but then she showed me everything that no other female had ever showed me. Like, literally, I'm not exaggerating, it's not a figure of speech. I think everything that I kind of I thought was a fairy tale, sounds cheesy, like it was a fairy tale, and when you get someone who kind of cares for you and supports you, she showed me. And it was a bit, it was weird to me, so I didn't really know how to kind of like interact with it. So I was kind of a bit standoffish at first. I thought, something's a bit too good to be true. You know what I'm saying? Imagine someone comes up to you like, yo, I see, here's £1 million. You don't owe me nothing. And then just pops off. And you're like, but I'm not touching this because if I go to jail, you know what I mean? You know, it's just one of those things. So, man, I think she wasn't ever trying to impress me. It was just the character of who she was. But also as Christians, there's certain things that, you know, that we look for in people. It's just about face value. It's not just about, you know, finances, this, that, and the third. You're looking about how they love God and understanding if they love God and abide by God's laws, right? Then she strives to not live a sinful life. Then therefore, those things won't fall down onto me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's just the natural things of it. I was just looking at her and I was observing her, and I just saw the way that she was with me, how she was with others. And I appreciated it from a distance until we started to get close.
Awesome. Awesome. And now you can see, I guess years on, you see the fruits of things that you saw.
Yeah. Two kids down there. Do you know what I mean? And it's, trust me, probably the best decision I made in my life. 100%.
Awesome, man. So, that, you know, we've got to lift up our women, man. And
definitely.
And I agree. Appreciate them. So how did, moving on to this new venture, this, again, remember we met, was it last year or this year at StockX?
Yes.
You said you was working on a new venture. Yes. I was like, rah. And you said, you know, I'm gonna let you describe it, but you told me what the industry it was. I was like, wow, it's so removed from what people know you from, fashion.
Yes.
And as you spoke about it, I was just like, for someone to make that move, it's bold, courageous. And again, it speaks of your character. So tell me again how the people who were supporting you, who were around you, how did they help now in starting, kind of sparking this new venture?
Okay, so just before we get, I know this is going to sound so wild. So just before we get to this the one that I'm currently working on, and by the way, the brands are still there. We're working on them. But before I got to this, so in between that time period of, you know, everything kind of breaking down, I saw an opportunity basically and invested into a post office franchise.
Oh, yes. Where, I remember,
yeah. Do you remember? I had a post office in Croydon. Mm. And a lot of the people you'll see that are in this, in here, was working for me at the post office. Wow. One out of love, two out of opportunity, and it was just a family environment. But mine wasn't just going posting mail. It was about, we'd done a consultancy. So we would design product for people. We would then produce it. We would store it in our warehouses, and then we would drop ship.
Wow.
So we would see beginning to end. And then we would do like accountancy lettings for law firms, or, you know, legal documents where we're just doing stamps and sending out. Do you know what I mean? So early day, I see Els in here, Swag London, big up.
Big up, Els.
You know, we was doing stuff like doing all of like Dapper's first merch, where we were stocking and drop shipping it for him. Do you know what I mean? We was doing the Link Up TV merch. We was doing 6/7 stuff for, do you remember, what's the store in Shoreditch? This is so bad because it's my friend's store, the pop-up store. Fresh Laces.
Okay, yeah.
So again, all of them, we were sipping out their products for them. Anyway, we was doing that. So that's what it was. And at the time, I always had this idea, like from a consultancy perspective, I wanted to create an agency called The Mailroom. And it was just about delivering a service.
Nice.
You get what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, we was doing this venture and it was going really well. But as things started to pick back up and we was doing a lot of things, started picking up with Long Live a bit, we started to push with Play-Doh and things were starting to grow again. The mail, the post office service started down. The guy that I was actually doing with was an older guy who I kind of bought into his franchise. It started to become a bit more financially heavy on him. So we just decided to part ways.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I kind of left that. And by this time, I was still doing a lot of the stuff with Wilfred behind the scenes. But I also noticed that as young, fresh talent, they don't really have a lot of people who understand them to represent them, to find them commercial brand partnerships or deals that are suited to them.
Yeah.
It's not just about me sitting somewhere and saying, okay, I represent that person and I'm going to push you. I need to, like, I got to guide your life. What is it that you're into? Dissecting it and then putting them in the right places. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what had happened was, is that, you know, at this time, me and Wolf went to like a Puma sitting for like a boot deal thing. And they was talking and halfway through, I was kind of like, okay, so what's the clause? Where does it break down? Okay, in contract terms, this, that, is it regional? Blah, blah, blah. And he's looking at me thinking like, "Raw, where did this guy just come from talking about all of this?" Because I'd be with him at all these meetings because we'd always try to tie Long Live into it. And then what you would see, like after that meeting, because again, I was doing it for a period of time, and after that meeting, it kind of went to me like, "Well, like, I kind of want you to like to kind of help me out with this stuff because I can see you know what you're talking about." And again, I was a bit reluctant. I thought, you know what? It is what it is, man. Let's go. You're my brother. I'll do it anyway. So, which brought, you know, just first of all, it was just about Wilfred. And then what would happen is as I do more stuff for him, I'd get other athletes that would contact me or go through other means to try and get to me because they're like, who's that guy that represents Wilfred? Or who's the guy that's done that deal? Or who's done that shoot for him? Or who's doing the things at Crystal Palace? And from there, I was kind of tired. Like, everyone knows, I was like, no, I just want to do this. I don't want no more people because I didn't have the manpower to do it. But again, as it started to come in, I welcomed change and just decided to kind of grow and scale up. So this is where it came on. Then I took on, like, obviously I got Wilfred, Mikel Antonio at West Ham. This is where we started doing a little bit for, like, Rhys James. Do you know what I mean? And Wan-Bissaka, we're doing stuff for Nikita Paris, who's at Lyon, Daniel Carter, Luke Campbell, boxer, helping out with Joshua Bawazi. Again, branding, PR, marketing, commercial deals, but really things that are tailored to who they are, not just giving them stuff, free stuff. I'm not into that. Just really tailoring stuff. Do you know what I mean? Even, you know, we got a young boxer called Denzel Bentley, like such a big prospect. He's from my area. And even him, like even recently, I was just saying to him, in his position for such a great boxer, sometimes the only difference between someone like him and a top flight athlete that brings in commercial deals is just branding.
Yes.
So I just said to him, like, bro, I'd love to help you brand. And he's actually my friend's little brother. He's from the area. He's got a name too. I said, bro, let's make this happen. He's actually fighting. I think it's next week, I believe. Do you know what I mean? But I'll post up the details. But yeah. And that's, yeah, and this is where the mailroom kind of was birthed, if I'm honest with you.
Guys, make sure you follow the mailroom and you'll get to see much more about what Kenny's talking about. Like, I love that you just said, you haven't done it before, but the opportunity is here and you'll take it. And I think that is a lesson in just looking at all the different ventures that you've gone into. You've got Play-Doh, and then you were like, why can't I do another club? And okay, why can't I do a sports creative agency? And it's just about you. I remember you said in the beginning, you know, the confidence and the ability that is in you. Yeah. And that in itself is not limited. That can be applied at its maximum, at its optimum to anything, and it will succeed, kind of thing. And
definitely.
What would you say is, I guess, what across those three brands, what are the biggest lessons that you've learned coming from all that experience and all that kind of knowledge?
Well, do you know what? It's so funny, right? Yeah. Between my wife and Grace, who's also in here. So Grace heads like our PR marketing department across all businesses I've ever done. She's
Big up, Grace.
She's, She's been with me through everything. So that was who you saw, Grace Takeras in here. But she's across everything. So big up Grace, right? And I used to get very frustrated behind the scenes, like super frustrated. Peggy will know. She's been here in the house and we're having meetings. I'm literally going crazy. Like, why are we not doing this? Why is this not growing this, that, and the third? And she showed me something, right, that was so important. Kenny. And sorry, Lawrence as well. Lawrence Tijani, who's in here. Just the guy. He's in here. And they were like, those people were the ones that told me, Kenny, you don't know how to delegate. And I didn't take it well at first. I said, because you know, when you're passionate about being creative, you just want to
do it all.
You
want
to do it. It's your baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what happened is for me, in order for me to grow, I had to let go of certain things. Wow. Meaning, you know, people love to say, jack of all trades, master of none. And I don't necessarily believe that. The only difference is now, in my experience years, I realize you can build an infrastructure and you build something kind of around it and allow people to maintain it, where you can speak life into it, train those people to share the same values as you to be able to raise up that brand. Yeah. So now I can be a bit more hands-off, where before I'm trying to design stuff for Play-Doh and design stuff for Long Live and then I'm doing this. I can't. Yeah. Now it's, okay, I've got a 10-minute window here. I'm speaking to whoever's managing Play-Doh. Grace, what's going on with the Melbourne? What have we got to do with Danielle, XYZ? Peggy, what's going on with Play-Doh? How do we get this over here, this, that, and the third? What's the emails? And David, what's happening? And that's just how it is. I just learned to delegate. And that was my biggest life lesson that's helped me to run the businesses along one another.
Can we have a round of applause, please, in the comment section? A lot of people have said, passionate, MC Marty said, passionate Kenny. Peggy said, Zoe Collins said, love your work, Grace. GA in London said, please save this interview. I'm currently driving. Can't miss a minute of this.
By the way, NNC Marty and that GA George Wright, yeah, Favela and No Names. I kid you not. This is a shameless plug anyway. When you're talking about young creatives in London from fashion, look out for those two. And I mean it genuinely, bro.
What's their names again? GA London.
Yeah, but Favela London.
Favela London.
And No Names Clothing. Check those two out. Amazing brands.
Awesome, man. Yeah. You have made it through with no pass card. That's a round of applause right there. No pass card. Mm. I'm looking at the time. All right, cool. So,
yeah.
Last question would definitely be, because of time, is, okay, do you have a question for me? Because I always kind of do that at the end. Yeah. We've known each other 10 years and probably still on some change,
man. Yeah.
And, bro, I'm just so happy to just see you flourish, man. And I didn't know a lot of stuff you said, I didn't even know happened. But you still persevered on and you're still standing. And that is a testament to your faith. That's a testament to your character. And that's a testament to your ability. While you're here and you're alive, I want to give you your flowers. Do you have one question for me?
Yeah, I do. So, you know, we've been speaking about my journey. As you know, I've known you for a long time. Mm. And not just me, you've gone through many stages. And people are going to know you for the sit down.
Yeah.
I don't know you from that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I know you from Bible's Bible. You know what I mean? You've transitioned gospel artist, fatherhood, to many different, you've put on many different hats.
Mm.
And how have you welcomed that change in your life? Because you've been through so many transitional moments as well.
Yes.
And, you know, how did you feel during those moments? Because I know sometimes it can kind of feel like, are you selling out by changing direction?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So how did you take that?
You know, it's funny. This question is coming in so many different variations every single time someone asks it. And it's interesting because then that means there's something that is on people's minds. But I think what it is that I had to understand that my life is not tied to what my hands do. My life is not tied to what my hands do. God's poured creativity in me and ability in me. But I can use that and apply it to anything. So I started off applying it to music. I started applying it to photography. I did Jesus is my logo badges. What else has I been doing? You know, we've done the sit down. And that is just me realizing that my life is not tied to those things that I do. But it's all about God creates the opportunity for me to do them. I pour into them and then I move on. Because I think I, for a long period of time, was tied, my hands were tied to music. And if I didn't make it in music, if I didn't blow, then I was a failure. But it's not true. In the, I guess in the last year, I'd say in the beginning part of last year, God said pivot. And I was doing music. I just released my album, my debut album that I'd been waiting for years to put out. I just put it on. But God said pivot. And that was just when the sit down was forming. I had the idea in my mind and I thought, you know, let's bring it to the forefront. God said pivot. And that meant turn your focus to this, pull your energy into it. And I remember I released the album, my child was born, and I thought, okay, cool, let's put out another album. My creative musical juices were gone. Gone. Like, what I used to create the album was God downloading songs to me, and I was just penning them. But when it came to the second time around, there was nothing. But for the sit down, oh, I had all the juice in the world. Everything was just flowing like water, and as you can see how it's kind of progressed. So it just showed me that don't worry, my hand, my purpose and my destiny is not tied to what my hands do. I can flow in between and do anything as long as what I'm doing is impacting and enabling God to flow through me. As long as it's doing that, it can be, I might start a clothing line tomorrow. Hey, I might call it Long Live Forever. But whatever, just like you said, whatever I put my hands to, God will use it to prosper and to flourish as long as he needs it to. So I'm no longer tied down by the things that I'm doing. So now I can go into the way when I transition, there is fear. There is a bit like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? But there is quiet confidence that if I apply myself to this thing, it will be amazing, because it's not only my skills and abilities, but God backing me, you know. That's how it's been.
Listen, it's been. Powerful, very powerful, man. Thank you. You know what I mean? And I said, I haven't been able to read all those comments that are kind of been going on, but I've seen a few of them, and I just want to say I really appreciate you guys, man. Especially those of you that have followed, been there long enough to follow all the journeys, or know me personally and know what I've been, and you kind of lend a helping hand with my family or in work or just helping me creatively. I really do appreciate it. Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, I don't want to sound, again, not cliche, but I truly believe that anything I create is for the people. It's not just about myself. We create services that, you know, that are bigger than us. If it sounds what I always say, if EE cut off their service, I know there's other options to use other network providers, but there are going to be people that will not benefit from the services that EE provided. And that's how I see the services that we provide in any arena that we kind of operate in.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
Bro, thank you so much for joining me today. You made it all the way through. Thank your prize is, this is to help you when it's all on top. All right.
Herbal tea. Is that herbal tea?
We got some
green tea.
We got some green tea for you.
Okay, I'll come for that.
So you can just, when you're blowing a gasket, you can just be like, breathe, sip on your tea, and it'll be all okay.
Thank you, bro.
Shout out to you. Big up to Shireen, your children, your family, to all your projects. And again, I say it to every single guest, if we put you on this platform, it means we endorse what you're doing, and we're here to just support it. So anything you put out there, we're there to just support. And if you need us in any way, the sit down is there, man, 100%. Yeah,
I'm getting the kettle on.
Get the kettle on, 100%. All right. Love, bro.
Thank you very much. Take I appreciate care, you all, man. Thank you very much.
No problem. Guys, thank you so much for joining us for 21 seconds. 21 questions. We've got 46 seconds on the clock. So I'm going to say thank you to every single person for joining us today. Like I said, big up to all the newcomers to 21 Questions. If you've never ever watched this before, we've got like 10 other episodes for you to watch. Click the link in the bio and you can watch it on our YouTube channel. Or if you're into podcasts, we've got it on our Apple Podcasts and our Spotify podcast. What else do I want to say? Yes, big up everyone. Just give you your big up your comments. Are you going to save this and upload it? 100%. I'm going to save it on our IGTV. And then tonight I'm going to transfer it onto YouTube so you can watch it back and you can play out the podcast. The clock is ticking, so I'm going to say goodbye. But thank you so much for joining us. Peace. We'll save it. Yes, we'll save it.